Welcome to the Omics Exchange. I'm Angela Page. This episode, we continue our series on the role of data sharing during the COVID-19 pandemic, in which we speak with members of the international genomics community about new initiatives that leverage collaboration, interoperability, and open science to advance research into the novel coronavirus. Today, we hear from Johan Ordish, an active member of the GA4GH Regulatory and Ethics Workstream, or RUES. Johan spearheaded the RUES response to the COVID-19 pandemic, which includes guidance on the legal and ethical considerations for data sharing during this time, as well as navigating the GDPR, the European General Data Protection Regulation, in regards to COVID-19 research. Welcome, Johan.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
So what is the GA4GH Regulatory and Ethics Workstream doing to facilitate responsible data collection and sharing right now?
The RUES team have two main kind of responses at the moment. First is the responsible data sharing to respond to COVID-19 pandemic. So that document there is a living document. It's updated at certain intervals to make sure it's up to date. So that document has three main pillars, and it congeals a lot of collective information around the regulatory policy, ethical policy, and then just governance and policy in general. So under that, it's a good place to start when you're thinking through the regulatory, the ethical, and governance issues that come with COVID-19 genomic work. The other piece is called COVID-19 Research, Navigating the European General Data Protection Regulation. So that is a paper that is in preprint, and that is a bit of a longer exploration of what are the particular issues that arise with the GDPR and COVID-19 research in genomics. So that will cover in more depth, say, if you're processing personal data, what are your obligations, what do you have to do, but also some of the strengths and weaknesses of the different tools that are available to you.
So what is the goal of this living document, the first project you mentioned?
Its main goal is to signpost, to say, if you're confused about this, go here. If you're confused about that, go here. So it's certainly not legal advice. It's a few ideas about what your main responsibilities will be, what your main obligations are, and the main tools you'll have to address those. And then tells you, you know, if you're in the UK, you should go to this website that has that information.
And is there a plan to incorporate guidance for other countries as well?
Anyone who has regulatory expertise for any other jurisdiction, you know, absolutely please get in contact. I think for the moment we have expertise from the EU, United States, and Canada.
To any of our listeners with regulatory expertise from other areas, if you'd like to contribute to this project, please send us an email at info@ga4gh.org. Okay, so now to switch gears, could you tell us a little bit about the other paper you mentioned? COVID-19 Research, Navigating the European General Data Protection Regulation.
There are many responsibilities that come with processing personal data. So the first thing, if you are processing personal data, is that you'll need a legal basis. So they're actually enumerated in the GDPR. So there's an article which just lists them. So you have a smorgasbord, kind of like going to eat sushi. You just pick the one that comes by on the tray, you know, which suits your purposes and that you can rely on. They're enumerated in Article 6 of the GDPR. So you just have to pick one. But of course, picking one is easier said than done. And so the document gives some ideas about what kind of legal bases would be appropriate and what work well for COVID-19 research and genomics. We note that there are some that are more flexible, some that are more restricted. So for example, consent is absolutely central to research, but for data protection purposes, it's one of the more difficult legal bases to rely upon. So it often leaves you vulnerable to people withdrawing their data, and it's difficult, a high bar to actually reach for data protection, especially in the circumstances where people have a deadly virus. It's very difficult for them to freely consent to that kind of research. But there are other flexible ones, for instance, public interest. That public interest requires your national member state to actually have a piece of law already waiting for you there. So that's one of the changes that we have kind of advocated for. That this public interest legal basis is really important to facilitate research in the European Union, and also transferring that data outside the European Union to help with efforts globally. But at the moment, not all member states of the European Union actually have that law in place. Some do, some don't.
That's very interesting. So what are the different considerations about sharing data internationally, even beyond European countries?
Transferring data overseas, if it's personal data, can be a bit of a headache. I mean, the other thing is that GDPR doesn't just apply in the European Union, it can apply outside it. It has what lawyers call extraterritorial effects. So even researchers in the United States, depending on what data they have and how they process it and where they're located, can be caught by it. Say you want to transfer data outside the EU, and that's personal data, you'll need a legal mechanism. So there is one for the United States called Privacy Shield. That doesn't help in all situations, but there are mechanisms in place to facilitate that data transfer. But what also we've found, you know, which is mentioned in the paper, is that those legal mechanisms between countries, there's a conflict of laws. So the United States does not want to be covered by the GDPR, doesn't want to be governed. So the legal mechanisms that would facilitate the transfer from the EU to the US often don't work.
So is your team at PHG Foundation pursuing any other activities related to COVID-19?
Yes, we've got a couple of activities. We've been engaged in a year-long project with the UK Information Commissioner's Office, which is the regulator for data protection in the UK. So they commission us to do an independent report and roundtable on data protection and genomic data. So that report will come out in the next couple of months, and it covers a lot of the issues that the community is currently dealing with the COVID crisis. So for example, to what extent is genomic data personal data? So to what extent is it governed by the GDPR? And also discussion of the legal mechanisms for international data transfer as well. So if I need to transfer my genomic data overseas, you know, what is the mechanism that's going to suit me and suit my interests?
So in your opinion, Johan, why is it so critical to be able to easily and quickly share data around the world during a pandemic?
The standard reasons for data sharing apply. They're just heightened in this context. So in the genomics community, the research is really challenging, but in particular, you know, you need large data sets, you need diverse data sets. So as a host of community members at the moment, looking at things like the genetic determinants of COVID-19, so who's going to get it, how severe is it going to be, and what are their outcomes? To test that hypothesis, you're going to need large data sets. It's also been noticed that minority populations have worse outcomes. So if you want to test that hypothesis, you're going to have a diverse data set. Those kind of things together with that emergency, you know, really heightened the need and speed for data sharing. In recent memory, this is, you know, a truly international crisis as well. It's cross-border. No one seems to be immune. And paired with that, we have countries with exactly the same motivation. We all want to solve it. We all want a vaccine. We want to understand its spread and stop its spread. So we have talented researchers across the world that need large data sets, diverse data sets, and we're all motivated to share that data as best we can.
How is data sharing during a pandemic different from normal times, specifically from a regulatory and ethics perspective?
The general rule is to say that the regulation isn't suspended. There are just certain kind of flexibilities that are implemented. There are two main kinds of flexibility you might think of. The first is you might find some flexibility already present in the law. So an example of that would be the general data protection regulation. So there is some flexibility to allow sharing for important reasons of public interest, even cross-border, even overseas and internationally. But also I think you'll find that the regulatory authorities, they're also making sure that they've made themselves available, flexible and contactable to make sure that interpretation is also made flexible. With ethics as well, I think the general rule is proportionality. So we'll realize that there are ethical principles and they still apply, that we need to make sure that those processes are sped up, that they're flexible, that they're open to innovation in these kind of circumstances.
And what role does the regulatory and ethics work stream play in addressing the challenges that become apparent in a time like this?
So I think the first issue is just translating each other's law, each other's concerns, each other's principles. You know, a large amount of the regulatory and ethics work stream is just that kind of translation project. It's just making sure everyone's on the same page. Once you know that, once you know where everyone stands, you can start to triangulate upon a solution. So a lot of it is just laying all the tools out on the table and everyone says, well, I can't use that one. I can use this one. I can't use that one. We see what we have left. If there's nothing left, or if the solutions feel more problematic rather than solutions, you know, we advocate for change.
And how does this work fit into larger overarching themes of GA4GH more broadly?
I mean, the heart of GA4GH for me is accelerating innovative science through data sharing. And so a lot of the work that RUSE does is to make sure that data sharing can occur in a responsible and lawful manner, but also to make sure the community are getting the essential data they need to carry out, you know, their fantastic research. So I think at least I myself and my role in RUSE see myself more of a facilitator and servant of the overarching community. Our idea is just to make sure the data can get where it needs to go. Sometimes the law is in there for good reason, but sometimes law needs to be loosened or it needs to be massaged in such a way that the data can get where it needs to go.
So as you know, all of the work that GA4GH produces is based on the framework for responsible sharing of genomic and health-related data. And we always like to point out that this document centers around the human right to benefit from scientific advancement, which is a right set forward in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights from 1948. What does this right have to do with the current atmosphere, specifically with regards to data sharing during the COVID-19 pandemic?
There is a general right to science in multiple international conventions, which I think GA4GH has hung its hat on, in particular to say, you know, this is one of the main legal principles and human rights principles that underpins all of our work to facilitate that data sharing. I think in this circumstance, that's also a really powerful ethical and legal principle to push as well. But I think we just really need to recognize there are competing interests. The right to science is important. It's absolutely vital work, but also we need to take into account, you know, the rights of individual data subjects and people who have that right to privacy and, you know, to ensure that their medical information is kept confidential where possible.
I think you summed that up perfectly, Johan. Thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for listening to The Omics Exchange, a podcast of the Global Alliance for Genomics and Health. The Omics Exchange podcast is produced by Stephanie Lee and Katie Forgey, with music created by Rishi Nag. GA4GH is the international standards organization for genomics, aimed at accelerating human health through data sharing. I'm Angela Page, and this is The Omics Exchange.